Welcome to Post Status Draft, the official podcast for Post Status, a website with news and information for WordPress professionals. Today, Mr. Brian Richards and I are going to talk about stuff that's going on within the land of Make WordPress, and also a couple other little announcement things that Brian in particular has. If you enjoy this podcast, you can get more news and analysis from the Post Status Club. Go to poststatus.com/club to learn more about that. Today, I'd like to thank one of our partners, iThemes. iThemes has a suite of great tools from Backup Buddy, iThemes Sync, and more. Go to iThemes.com to learn more about that. And thank you to iThemes for being a Post Status partner. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
How are you?
So when did you start talking about yourself in the third person? And I didn't know you had any announcements to share today.
I do not have announcements. These are your announcements.
Oh, we're talking about me. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I'm doing well, by the way, to answer your question. How are you?
I'm doing well as well.
Ah, that's just swell. And for all of you listening, I hope you're also doing well, because we like to hear that you are doing well.
Oh my goodness.
Did you know?
Knocking it out of the park on our recent podcast intros.
That's right. Did you know that we have quite a good listener base out there in the WordPress world? Of course, you probably knew this because you're famous and everybody knows who you are when you go places. But I have had a significant uptick in people talking to me at WordCamps, talking about how they like the episodes and that they're glad we're back on a regular recording schedule. And that's a new experience for me. It's been pretty cool.
Well, good. I'm glad that they're glad. So thanks, listeners, for listening. So today, we are going to talk about, I think, three different posts that we've seen on the variety of Make WordPress websites that we found of interest. But before we do that, Mr. WordSesh himself, now that you've taken it over from our friend Scott Baskard, you've got some stuff going on. So what's the news of the week for WordSesh land?
Oh, man. The news of the week. I finally got the schedule published at the end of last week. And I'm feeling really excited about that for two reasons. One, because I've been able to assemble an amazing cast of speakers who are bringing some really exciting topics. And two, I got to play with a fun JavaScript library called Moment.js, which makes it dead simple to show all of the scheduled times in the visitor's local time zone. It will make its best guess as to what time zone to show. And then there's a select input so that someone can change it if it was wrong or if they're going to be somewhere else when they're actually viewing the thing. And then outputting the date format might be the easiest experience I've had outputting dates on a website since back in the plain standard HTML days. So nice. That was pretty cool. So the schedule is published over at wordsesh.com. We've got 10 sessions this year. So I mentioned this way back when we first talked about it, that I was going to sort of shorten the schedule because I'm not quite as powerful as Scott Baskard is. And there's no way I'm going to be able to stay up for a 24-hour event. So it's 12 hours with a number of breaks in between. So people have an opportunity to just hang out and chat with each other without worrying about missing what's going on. You know, get up and leave your computer for a little bit, go use the bathroom, grab a snack, eat some lunch, whatever. And if you want to eat lunch with us, we're going to be doing Lunch with Brad right at noon Eastern, which is Brad Williams' newest podcast, which has been a lot of fun. And then in terms of topics, a lot of people have asked about this. So we're going to be talking about some server op stuff. Mike Little, one of the WordPress co-founders, does a lot of server-related things. And he and I haven't quite nailed down specifically what he's going to talk about, but we both know that he's going to share something related to server management or other operations-related things, which he knows really well, and many of us in the WordPress space don't know very well at all. Ahmad Awais is going to be talking about dev tooling and sane automation. He's responsible for the Create Gutenblock, which is very similar to Create React App, which we talked about a few episodes back. He's going to talk about a bit about building that and other awesome things that he's been working on for sort of automating his workflow, which is always a super popular thing, right? All of us devs like to get together and talk shop. Yeah. Helen is going to come on. She's going to talk about when CSS is an API. And I don't want to spoil anything about her topic, but she and I chatted a bit about it, and it sounds really awesome as she's been thinking through different design-related things, particularly as they pertain to WordPress, but also just design systems in a broader scale. Andrea Goulet, who is not from the WordPress space, is going to show up, and she's going to talk about makers and menders. I sought her out because she has a lot of very awesome things to say about long-term software maintenance, which is now true for all of WordPress because it's turning 15 very soon.
Which is crazy.
Any 15-year-old software project has a lot of maintenance behind it. And all of us who have been building sites with WordPress for any number of years know what it's like, at least to some degree, to go back and maintain a site that was built 3, 4, 5 years ago. We'll have some freelancing stuff this year with both Carrie Dills and Nathan Allote. They're going to be talking about successful freelancing tips and what clients really want. We'll be talking about security with Aaron Campbell, improving your dev workflow with Tessa Kreisel from Pantheon, optimizing and performance with Mara Thiel, and then Chris Lem is going to round it out with 45 ways to improve store conversions, which is awesome for anybody who's running an e-commerce site like myself or building those kinds of sites for their clients, which is a growing portion of those of us who are working in the WordPress space.
I'm excited about it. It's a little bit different, I guess, of a format than previous Word sessions, and I think it'll be fun. Of course, people do know that it's a 12-hour event, like you just mentioned. And I think that'll be good for my personal sanity because I love Word Sesh. And I can wrangle a 12-hour event a little better personally.
Exactly. What I've loved about Word Sesh historically, to cut you off,
No, it's fine.
Is that everything's recorded, right? So you can come back and watch it if you can't actually stay up for the full 24 hours. But 24 hours is a ton of content to parse through, even after the fact in recordings. My hope is that by making it 12 hours, people are more likely to come back and watch everything because it's not a significant undertaking at that point. And then perhaps we can do multiple 12-hour events across a year where each of them are easily digestible. Now, what were you about to say?
I was going to say that the event's formatted a little differently. So, it's 12 hours. Tell us about why this is a paid event this time and not a free event.
Oh, spoiler alert. Yeah. This year.
Well, we might as well pull the Band-Aid off, but I think it's well justified based on what we've discussed.
No, I'm taking a good thing and ruining it, Brian, is what I'm doing. I wanted to pay speakers this year, and I wanted to get every single video professionally transcribed. And both of those things cost real money,
Indeed.
You might be surprised to learn. And so I figured, if I could sell tickets at a modest cost, that I could handily pay the speakers, get all of the videos transcribed, which makes them ultra accessible, and then also put together a pretty sweet digital swag package for people that would ultimately be more valuable than the money they invested in the ticket, not too many people would be upset about that. And so I have spent a lot of time thinking through this, obviously, because WordSesh had historically been free and volunteer driven. And I thought, well, what other things are like that? WordCamps are like that. So the ticket cost for WordSesh is basically the same as a WordCamp. And it's hard to say exactly the same because WordCamps are different, right? Some WordCamps in the US are $20, some are $40.
But super affordable. And people, you're able to pay speakers, which is like very uncommon in the WordPress landscape for conferences. And personally, I think that's important. It's going to make it to where your average speaker is going to be prepared and ready for the move, or for the not the move, the what is this called, for the presentation?
Yep.
Movie presentation.
Same thing.
Just tell them they're all in a movie. They're in the Word Sesh movie, live broadcast. Anyway, so yeah, I think it's well worth it, and you're planning a great deal to make sure that this is a notch above people's expectations. So people should be excited about that. I'm excited about it.
I'm excited about that. The other thing, besides just charging for tickets, I also was very careful to include lots of opportunities for discounts. So tickets are available today. So if you're listening to this, you can already get them because this is going to come out tomorrow. And so there are early bird tickets available. There are group discounts available. So if you work in an agency or you have three or more friends who want to attend with you, you're going to get some discounts. For local viewing parties, I'm working on a way to make it so that it's free, at least for you to participate at the party. And then if you want the recordings and things afterwards, you can get a severely discounted group rate ticket. And then if you're a student or veteran or any other number of qualifying things, there's probably also going to be a discount for you as well, which makes me really happy.
So I think you did a couple of interesting things technology-wise. And since we have a lot of people that make websites that listen to this, let's talk about a couple of them. One is you did formatting of the schedule so that it's visible according to people, the way people read time. I'm not describing that well. Can you describe what you did there? Because I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, so I laid out the schedule in chronological order. Surprise! But then I normalized the time so that it's exactly what someone expects to see in their own time zone. And I can do that very easily thanks to the Moment.js library that I mentioned at the beginning. There are a few time zones who will be participating on July 26th, even though for the rest of the world, the event's happening on July 25th. I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, I just think this is highly considerate of you and a total nerd thing to spend time on that. But I'm sure will be appreciated by the audience.
Yeah, I mean, the previous Word Sesh websites were always really awesome. I always enjoyed checking them out because it was usually Scott Bosgard and Chris Cochran and friends kind of nerding out and just goofing around building a site, right? And so I remember one year, I think it was the second Word Sesh, the schedule was animated, so it was shown on a timeline, and the current time was always centered across the screen. So you could see, here's what's happening right now during Word Sesh. That was probably my favorite one. But my hang-up is that the times were always shown in UTC, which is universally useful, and then they just linked out to a time converter so you could do the math yourself. And I thought, well, what if I could just do that right here on the page so that nobody has to click anywhere to do anything? So just here are the times exactly as they are where you are.
I like it. Yeah. And then the other thing, we've both been working with this. So for me, it's been long awaited and slow to implement. And you've got it going on your site too. This is SkyVerge's Teams plugin.
Yes.
So yeah, it's really slick. I say slow to implement. They really just released it on the WooCommerce store within the last couple of weeks. So it's not been around that long. I've been talking to SkyVerge about this product for a while. But now with WooCommerce memberships, that's what you're using to manage tickets. And I'm using to implement a Teams feature for PostStatus so that a whole team can be under a single account. So if the entire WP Sessions empire wants to be members of PostStatus, then you can manage that all from one place. And it's really cool the way it works. So this is what you're doing to essentially make it to where someone with a team of people that want to go to Word Sesh, one person can buy all that and then invite the individuals to claim their ticket, right?
Bingo. Yeah. Thank you, first of all, to SkyVerge for taking the time to build this feature. It's something that I've wanted for a while, And I've also been talking to Becca and Max and everyone else there about it because we needed this a year ago when I was building a client site with CrowdFavorite. I'm like, okay, well, I know it's coming. So let's just build the minimum extra UI and functionality that we need to bridge the gap. So we can tap into, I asked him a bunch of questions like, okay, so architecturally, how are you categorizing a team? Okay, good. So if we register people that, anyway, I picked that for the group memberships rather than using something like the Box Office extension for WooCommerce because I don't strictly need literal tickets for this, right? Because it's a virtual event. I just need a name and an email address. And I wanted to make it as easy as possible for someone who is registering a group to do that. And right now, as best as I can tell, and I've been looking at the landscape for a while, there is not a better solution that exists than the brand new Teams for Memberships extension for WooCommerce.
Yeah. Well, certainly, and if you're running WooCommerce, I think it's the go-to thing that will help a lot of stores. I think it was actually iThemes Exchange back when they were doing Exchange that was the first to create like an umbrella membership feature. And Easy Digital Downloads now has team management, but I've been long looking forward to it with WooCommerce, and this is a really great solution. So you chose to go this route instead of Box Office or whatever it's called, the ticketing solution for WooCommerce. And that's what I would do as well, mostly because Box Office is really geared more towards like in-person stuff and has a lot of additional data and whatnot. And if you're already managing members on a website, then this is much more clear cut in my opinion. So I, I'm a big fan of what they did here.
Yeah. So the two deciding features that really made it clear for me was the way that they built the UI for inviting other people. Mm-hmm. So I, as an account manager, sign up and say, I want to buy 10 seats. I don't have to occupy one of those seats, which is really cool. So I can give all 10 seats away to somebody else. Or if I do want to watch, I say, yes, invite myself to this. But you can either share a private URL with your team. They click that and register themselves. Done. Or you invite them via email. And then basically, they get an email with that private URL and register themselves and they're done. You don't have to collect 10 emails, 25 emails, right? However big your team is, you just say, I need to buy this many seats. Perfect. Here's my link. Let me drop it in the team Slack. Or let me, now I'll get the emails and send them out after the fact. I don't have to know them before I complete the order. And the Box Office add-on can work this way, but it gets a little, like the UI for managing your invitations isn't quite as streamlined as the Teams for Memberships UI is. So it's a little bit more
clunky
that way.
You end up with data on the website that, like if you're just doing an event, I think Box Office can work well. And, you know, they've done it for WooConf and other people do it as well. But if you're not, if you do mostly other stuff with a website and then like you have an event, you end up with a plugin that has all this ticket information and then like t-shirt sizes and meal stuff, like things that are very physical event specific and replicated data for event attendees and whatnot. Whereas with this, if you already have members, now it's basically just create a whole separate membership plan. So treat the event like a membership. And then you just specifically apply the team management to that. And it's like, bam, and you go. So I don't know if anybody's working on events or doing membership stuff and trying to think through team stuff, just a shout out for what SkyVerge built there. I think it's quite nice. What other... We're digging into tech stuff. I think this is a fun conversation. Like people are going to just be a fly on the wall for while we, what we think through when we build things. So why don't you just close us out and tell us about something else you built for WordSesh? Do you got anything else that's fun? If not, then I'll bring up a thing you built recently and we'll talk about that.
I do, but I'm not quite ready to reveal one of the fancier things that I've built. I guess I could say that one final benefit of using the memberships and then the team's extension for that is for content restriction, right? Like you said, selling tickets, pulling in data that I don't necessarily need, you can turn off most of that data in Box Office, but it doesn't grant you very easily access restriction, right? I mentioned that everybody who gets a ticket gets access to the live event, to the recordings, and to a bunch of virtual swag. So that has to live on the web somewhere. And memberships makes it super easy for me to just put it on my site and say only people who have this membership can access it. And then people who are members already at WP Sessions, all of my VIPs are getting free access to WordSesh. So it's going to be very easy for me to, well, for me, there's no UI to transfer a member from one site to another, but because I have this construct of members on both sites, it'll be fairly easy for me to get members in both places. And I would imagine it'd be true for other capable devs as well.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. So you don't want to hint at a video related thing that you've been working on?
Oh, no, we could talk about that. Yeah.
Is that, are you going to use that for WordSesh after the fact?
I am. So I've been working on a custom video player that Krogsgaard has had the opportunity to see.
And I want it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It was an experiment that I was working on because it's something that I've wanted to have for a while, and it's definitely going to become my go-to player experience on WP Sessions, and then probably everywhere else that I have to use video. So, I've wanted for a long time this sort of video playlist functionality where you can auto advance from one video to the next. You can skip back and forth between videos. I love the skip ahead or skip back 10 seconds buttons that exist on the default video experience on iOS. And I wish that was true on every single app. Like I, at this point in time, am very frustrated with Netflix on my iPad because it doesn't have, it has a jump back 30 seconds, but it doesn't have a jump forward 30 seconds. And rather than 30 seconds, I wish it were 15 or 10. YouTube, you can double tap on the left side or the right side of the screen to jump back 10 or ahead 10. And I think the more you do it, the further you're jumping, which is pretty cool. And I think the same is true for Amazon's video player. So I wanted that on my desktop. So I added these buttons to my player. And then it also tracks your view status of the video. So right now, the one that I'm experimenting with just uses local storage. So it's just for your own tracking purposes. Have I watched this video or haven't I? And it just changes the color of the timestamp bubble next to the title of the video in the playlist list.
It's just a really slick interface. If you have a playlist of videos, though, and you want to be able to browse and see what's up with the various videos in that playlist, and the fact that you just did it out of nothing, I thought was really cool. So
yeah, so
people should look forward to that experience, and I imagine that people are going to want to swipe that interface off of you. So you should figure out a way to package that up and maybe even sell it.
I've been thinking about that, and I'm thinking about doing a mini training series on WP Sessions. Like
for how to build it.
Yeah. So for.
So you buy the training series and then you get the plugin. So you're selling the plugin, but you're really selling the education.
Exactly. And it's not just, here's how I wrote the code for this verbatim. It would be, you know, a couple of days thinking through the requirements of what I wanted to build, a couple of days thinking through design decisions on not just like the UI, but the design of the information. And then probably 5 days of actually building it. Because it'd be, what I've been thinking about is like 15, 20 minute live broadcasts, kind of a lunch and learn scenario. So every afternoon for 2 weeks, people can join me or they can watch the recording after the fact and see, here's the part of the project that we unpacked today. And so in the end, you've got, you know, 2 to 3 hours of video as well as the entire code base to play with.
That's pretty exciting to me.
Yeah.
I think
so. We'll see.
I think people should do it.
I'm going to put some feelers out and see if people actually want to participate.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break before we get into these make articles. We'll have to rename the title of this episode where we just make it chatting about building things. And let's take a break to thank our partner for the episode, which is iThemes. iThemes, who recently had a nice acquisition from Liquid Web. So thanks to Liquid Web, too, for indirectly partnering with us for this episode. iThemes is still doing the good work that they've always done with iThemes products. Backup Buddy, of course, is the original all-in-one WordPress backup plugin. Does a great job. And then they've got iThemes Security, iThemes Sync, and then the newest part of their platform, iThemes Sales Accelerator, which offers a lot of WooCommerce reporting and other stuff, including an iOS app to help you make your store work for you even better. And that's really cool. I'm sure that they're going to do a lot of integrations with Liquid Web, especially for, really for all their products, but I would imagine especially more direct integrations from like Sync and the Sales Accelerator, since Liquid Web is putting such a focus on e-commerce. I'm excited about what iThemes is working on these days and what their team's got going on. Website looks great. I think they have a relatively recent upgrade that happened there. So check out iThemes.com to see everything that they're doing these days, and check out their individual products as well. And thank you to iThemes for being a Postas partner.
Yeah, thank you, iThemes.
Thank you, iThemes. Speaking of birthdays, man, they have been around for a long time, too. This is their 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, they turned 10 in January.
So congratulations to them on 10 years of business. That's pretty cool. I think the acquisition was basically right after the 10th birthday.
You are correct, if I remember correctly.
Yep, yep. Pretty cool. So there were three articles on Make WordPress that I want to chat about briefly. And these are relatively straightforward things, but worth mentioning. One is on the theme review team, which there's always been this air of like not understanding exactly how theme review works and trying to gain clarity and, you know, whatever. So someone, I don't know their name, they wrote this post. Their username is Acosman. They wrote a post about the Trusted Authors Program. So there's this goal to, quote, lower the burden on reviewers and leads and to enable time for more interesting programs. So what they're doing is they're creating a trusted authors program that makes it a little easier for people that have a degree of trust from the theme review team, that you don't have to have the same exact queue process and review process, which is pretty extensive, in order to keep WordPress.org themes safe. They're making it a little simpler. So there's this conversation going around how this is all going to work and whatnot. And even goes into like consequences if they catch you breaking the rules as a trusted author. I think this is really good. It's only going to help the theme ecosystem on WordPress.org. And I think that's a great thing, because I personally like always tell people, go to WordPress.org to find a theme, because it's pretty much the most likely place to find like a quality coded theme. And this will hopefully encourage people to submit themes and get better designs on there. So I think this will be good. What do you think?
I agree. And I think one of the biggest challenges for the theme review team in general is you just have a lot more things to pour over for a theme than for a plugin, right? For a plugin, it's usually been built for a specific purpose, or it has a few features, and it's just a matter of checking, does this functionality work as advertised? Had they tried to stick any malicious things in here? But for a theme, I mean, they have to, in order to maintain good quality, check it in different browsers, check it on different devices, check all of these different types of content to make sure that they're supported well. It's a serious undertaking. And so if they can reduce that burden on the 100% pure volunteer-led team to say, listen, these authors always do a good job. We could let them police themselves and just pull that out of the queue. I think that's a wise choice, because as they've outlined here, if suddenly one of those trusted authors becomes a bad actor, which seems extremely unlikely, but the world's a big place, right? It could happen. They just revoke that status, pull out any of the offending things, and boom, problem solved.
And honestly, you know, there's two elements to this. One is that it takes a ton of work, and they've always been a very hands-on, like, it's so much different than plugins, because plugins, as long as you pass basic security review, you can kind of put whatever on. Like, there's not additional non-security standards in a big way, at least. Whereas with themes, there's always been a pretty tight checklist. It's a much stricter compliance review, I guess, in some way. And that makes it very difficult for review purposes and has discouraged a lot of theme makers, because they feel like they have to check every single box. Like, it limits creativity in some ways. But at the same time, they might just get discouraged because it's just so much effort to put a theme on. And this at least helps with some of those elements of allowing trusted authors to flex a little bit more and contribute more to the theme repository and not necessarily have to wait 4 months for a review, which has been troubling at times. So this should help overall make a better theme ecosystem. And I look forward to seeing how it does going forward.
Yeah. And thank you to our volunteers who are running that.
Yeah, honestly,
you all this is, are doing an amazing job.
It's such a thankless job that, like, I would just,
clearly nobody else wants to do it, or they would be doing it. So
I'm so hesitant to ever critique anything about anybody working on anything with WordPress.org, pretty much. But I feel like theme review is a special level of pain in trying to deal with and manage that, you know. Shout out to everybody that's been doing that. And most of those contributors have been doing it for years. So it's like, even more so, just incredible what they do. So kudos. The next thing I want to discuss is Daniel Bachhuber did a help wanted for a Gutenberg migration guide. So this is pretty short. This is just call for action. They're crowdsourcing the Gutenberg migration guide that allows for the editor customization, like, so if you had custom buttons within the former editor, to essentially figure out how to take those buttons that were in the old editor and make that functionality work with Gutenberg and block management type of stuff. So it's pretty straightforward, but, you know, there's a page that we'll link up in the show notes that you can go and do that to help with the Gutenberg migration guide for anyone that has experience on that realm.
Yeah. And basically, if you enjoy writing in any capacity, whether that's tutorials or sharing code snippets or just generally serving as a signpost with what you're writing, this call to action is for you. So you should show up and just help. Right? It's a matter of saying, here's how you were doing it, and here's how you can do it better or differently with Gutenberg. So
yeah. And, you know, documentation is always one of those things that's a real challenge, and especially with new features. If you don't document it at the development stage, the initial development stage, we've seen in the past, it can go years before there's a good documentation effort, basically until Drew James and other people say, hey, this is enough, we're going to go document this thing. So getting documentation right, both in the code and in the various support departments, is going to be helpful. So check that out. And then finally, Kadam White wrote a post about the REST API meeting summary. And I just wanted to highlight something that I think is cool, which is there's an effort to build a search endpoint to permit querying or searching for records across multiple post types. This is one of those things where in previous iterations of the API, you just like thought to yourself, like, really, we don't have this? This is crazy. Like, searching all post types. It seems so normal because that's what we do when we search WordPress by default, is it includes like all types of content. But the way the REST API endpoints work, it's not really how the structure of the API has been designed. So this essentially helps with that. So it would allow people to do more custom searchy things with the API. And you've done an API-driven search project before, right?
I have.
So yeah, did you merge them all when you did it?
Sort of. So I was able to kind of cheat and use the default posts endpoint And now I can't remember. Now that you mentioned, I don't know if I had it bringing in.
You might have just been searching for posts.
I might have just been searching for posts, which would have been perfectly okay in the project because it was just pulling up blog posts.
Yeah.
But
if you
want to
search other stuff, like if you were searching on
post status.
It's
not ideal to use the posts endpoint to try and wiggle your way around to get all of the other content.
Right. Like if you're searching on post status, for instance, I have organizations, jobs, you know, posts. So if you're searching for Yoast, you may want to be able to see search where it's separated out and it has, you know, jobs the Yoast has posted or posts about Yoast or the organization itself. And this endpoint would allow that to return all those results. So it's one of those things where I say it's little, it's probably not little. It's probably significant.
A big undertaking.
Yeah. Undertaking because they have to consider all the performance implications and all these tests and everything that weird that people might do in the real world and everything else. But I'm excited to see that that's happening. I'm excited to see that there are REST API meetings going on and, you know, seeing the API better and better integrated into new features of WordPress. So
it'd be fun to bring some of the REST API contributors on the podcast and get some intel out of them about their experience post merge, right? And how things have been going. Unpack some more of these meeting updates that we get snippets of.
That's a great idea. For a year or two, it seemed every podcast was like this, what's going on with the REST API type of thing.
Right.
So we may as well throw back to that and then get some of the folks that are working on it to come up and give us a summary. So
yeah, we're trying our hardest to not make that the case currently with Gutenberg.
Yeah, it's like every week, it's like, what are we going to talk about? It's like, well, we can talk about some Gutenberg stuff going on, but maybe we'll try to find some other things.
Yeah.
That's the podcast for this week. Brian, you have any fun stuff you want to talk about?
Get a ticket for WordSesh because I want to hang out with everybody this summer.
Yeah. Me too. It'll be fun. I don't have anything big in addition to that. I'm excited that the weather's nice. How about that?
Yeah, me too. It's always weird when summer rolls around here in Michigan because it's beautiful, absolutely gorgeous outside, like 75 and sunny. And I'm working in my subterranean lair where my space heater currently tells me that it is 66 degrees. So I'm wearing jeans and a hoodie. I go upstairs to get a drink of water. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm sweating. Why
Let's
is this
be honest,
so much nicer?
You wear jeans and a hoodie 362 out of 365 days of the year.
That's almost true. I have a remote office that I go to on my breezeway that I built myself a little standing desk for out there. And so for a few weeks of the summer, I can just stride out in my sandals and
only a t-shirt, no hoodie.
Right. T-shirt, shorts. It's pretty nice.
Well, good. And thank you to iThemes for being a partner again. And we will catch y'all next time.
Bye, everybody.